tonight. I think I should go right to the scriptures. You will enjoy this time tonight if you have a Bible. I don't think you will fall asleep because I may yell and scream a little bit, but you will enjoy it if you have your own Bible. I'm going to give you three references, three portions of Scripture, better said, and I'm going to read them in their entirety. The first one is Matthew 26, verses 38 through 46. The second one is Mark 14, verse 32 through 42. Luke 22, verse 39 through 46. In listening to the message from Sunday, I kept hearing in my heart and mind that the Holy Spirit did not get across through my voice everything that he wanted said and everything that he wanted understood. So this is not a refresher course as much as it is homing in on one portion that I feel as though we must get across, and that it must move from our mind to our hearts. You'll recognize it very quickly because it's when the Lord was going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was headed to the finished portion of his blueprint. It was the last mile of the road, if you want to call it that. That's where the majority of you are. Last year was spent in discussing a great deal about removing the flesh, going to the cross, laying aside every weight that easily besets us, laying down our lives, etc., etc. You all were doers of the word. You were not hearers only. I'm not critical when I say this, but the majority of the hearers only are no longer at the prayer center. That is not a judgmental statement. That's just the way it is. But you're still here. You're still here. You're not special. You're only obedient. You've received the grace to stand. You've received the grace to walk. You've received the grace to lay down your life. So let's go right to the scripture. We'll begin in Matthew 26. I'll begin reading verse 38. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came unto the disciples, his best friends, his best friends, those who knew him the best, those that had lived night and day with him for 3.5-4 years. And he came to his disciples and found them asleep. And he said unto Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." If you underline anything or circle anything, you should probably underline, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." As in your prayer times and in your fellowship with the Lord, you could ask him and should ask him, "Father, is my spirit really, really willing? And is my flesh weak? And how do I make my flesh strong?" A great deal to do with you're looking at an example of a flesh is weak. I'm overweight, etc., etc. But he's saying, if we're going to walk this mile, we need to begin. Why has so much been talked about as far as fasting, etc.? I'll go on. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then came he to his disciples and saith unto them, "Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Now Mark 14. And they came to the place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, "Sit ye here, while I shall pray." And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be so amazed and be very heavy, and saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." That means that he took the best, what we would call the best of the best of his friends. And he took them away a little farther, and he said, "Come close with me. Come close to me. I want you close for this hour that I'm going through." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will." I'm sure you're aware of this, that Mark, that wrote this, was not one of the 12. It was actually John Mark that wrote the book of Mark. He was not there that night. He was one of what we would call one of Peter's best friends. So not only was he not there, but in his writing, He heard it from the Holy Spirit, and he heard it from Peter. And they were the only three that the Lord was addressing when he was talking about the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. Because he went a little distance. He said, you three stay here. I'm going a little farther. And I'm going to kneel and fall to his face. All right? And he came and found them sleeping. Verse 37. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist he what to answer him. And he came the third time and saith unto them, sleep now, take your rest, it is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Now we'll go to Luke 22. Verse 39. And he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at a place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. A stone's throw is roughly 50 feet. But he was out of listening ears. He went by himself. You also know that Luke was not one of the 12. He was not there. He received this. He was Paul's best friend. He was his sidekick. He heard this from the Holy Spirit, or he heard it from Paul speaking and telling him what he had heard from the Holy Spirit. Luke was a scribe, if you want to call him that. The anointing that he had within the body of Christ. He was a scribe. He documented. He documented what took place. He documented the life and the history. Let's go to verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In each case, he went three times, right? And in each case, his will was not wanting to go to the cross. I wonder within each one of your blueprints whether you've ever went to the Father and said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. All things are possible to you. All things are possible to you if you be willing. You can remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Think about it. Think about it. Nevertheless, not my will. Most of the time, I shouldn't say most of the time, there are times when the Father has asked us to do something that we don't ask Him. Everything's possible to You, Lord. Everything. Everything's possible to You. But if You can remove this, please. But if not, nevertheless, Your will be done, not my will. Abba, Father. That's where we have to be. That's where we have to live. That's how honest we have to be with the Father. I'm not saying that the level of your walk, any of our walk, is where the Lord was. But I am saying that we come to that place where I think we've kidded a little bit, probably more than a little bit, like, you ask me to do what? You ask me to do what? Within my blueprint? You ask me to do what? But we never, not, I shouldn't say never, we need to take the next step and say, Father, every single thing is possible with You. And without You, I'm absolutely nothing. And if it is Your will, I give You my will. And I receive everything You are that is impossible to me, but is not impossible to You. And I will walk and accomplish what You've called me to do, whatever it is, whatever place You are within the body. Nobody, say this, nobody can take Your place in the body of Christ. Nobody. Nobody can do what You've been called to do. There are many people that think they can, but they are so wrong. They're living in such a level of deception. If I began to look and call names as to what the Lord's called you to do, you're needed beyond any thought that you have ever had about yourself. What did we learn on Sunday? You know, don't put any limits on me. Don't put any limits on me. Okay. You don't even understand or have the ability to think what I think about you. I think above and beyond any of anything that you think. Do not put limits on me. Word every single thing that you say without limits. I'm the boundless one. He's not here tonight. One of the body has had a vision. And I'll let him, if he's going to be here tonight, I would let him present it because he can do a much better job. But it is so clear, if you reach out and you're sitting close to someone, that you can touch someone, touch them right now. They are absolutely needed. Absolutely needed. And the Lord is weaving the body together so tight that all those that come and all of those that find Christ will be inside such a strong body that they will grow up quickly. As He has said before, I'm going to give birth to children that have a full set of teeth. And you're that needed beyond anything that we can imagine. And don't tell me you're too old. Don't tell me anything. I almost want to say liar. There's an individual here tonight that's going through difficulty. All of us are. And we were having fellowship with them over the phone. Actually, Leah was talking. Okay, I was listening. And the Lord said very clearly to me, I do not need their authority in heaven. I need it here. I need it here. I don't need any authority in heaven. I need it here. I need it here. And each one of you are the same way. Each one of you are exactly the same way. We need your authority here. Verse 42 again. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it was great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Now, I do not have scripture for this, so I'll say it's my opinion that Luke is writing this, and I believe that he's listening to Paul. And Paul was not in the garden either. But at some point in his relationship with the Holy Spirit, that the Lord showed him a vision of exactly what took place. And Luke was saying, you mean that during that time that an angel came? I better write this down. I better have this recorded. And really, he may have thought he was making the decision, but the Holy Spirit was saying, I want this in a book, and I want this documented for my body to understand that when this type of thing comes before them in their own personal life, that there are angels available. Three things on the face of the earth that we rely on. Three things. One of them is the Holy Spirit. One of them is the Word. One of them is angels. He's told us that because he didn't call them when he could have and not went through with the crucifixion, that they're available to us. We all know that. I mean, we've been taught that. So I believe that Paul had the vision and seen it. Was it not Paul in, I'm going to say Corinthians, that he was in prison or in jail, and that he says that the Lord Jesus came and served him communion? Am I right? Yes. He's seen that the Lord prayed to such a level, okay, that the perspiration, the sweat, was great drops of blood falling to the ground. He's seen it. And God said, I want that recorded. When the angels came, Let's go to Hebrews 12:1. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read Romans 12:1 through 12:4. I believe that when the angels came, how many of you have went through things that grace has come for you to survive? And the Holy Spirit has come and comforted you. I'm not saying that we're supposed to be looking for angels as much as I'm saying all of that grace is available for you to win and for you to not become weary in well-doing and for you to give up. It's all available. Every bit of it is available for you to win. You won't win alone, and you won't win without him. But you will never, ever, ever lose with him. He's never asked you to do anything, never will ask you to do anything, that he has not brought grace available for you to call out and grab a hold of it and accomplish it. Romans 12:1. I'm really headed to verse 2, but wherefore, seeing you also are encompassed about with such great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. I believe that you have done that, and I believe that you're doing that. And I believe that you will continue to do that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. It is my opinion, and I can be corrected. I believe the angels came, and I believe that they encouraged the Lord and showed him and talked to him about his blueprint, if you allow me, of everything that was going to be accomplished through what he was about ready to go through. I don't know what all he's seen, but his whole purpose of coming was to establish a way to have fellowship with his creation. And he, for the joy that was set before him, what greater joy would there be than for him to know that at some point in time, you would be sitting in that seat loving him. And he created us all for fellowship. I just believe that exactly the joy. Incidentally, we know he never sinned. So when your will has to go to the Father more than once and say, are you sure you've called me to do this? Are you sure that I have to do this? For the joy that you have in your heart that is set before you, for Jesus is Lord over Tulsa and Tulsa is in revival, that joy already is worth praising the Lord forever. What's coming, what's already come. The Lord also said in regards to this, under every circumstance, under every trial, maintain your joy, says the Spirit of Grace. For joy is a foundation. It allows me to take my rightful place and will sustain you through the endurance of the test and the trial. It will give you strength to be sustained in patience. Will you see the victory? Therefore, joy will give you the strength to endure that you might win. So win, and again win, and win again. Another place he's told us, search the scriptures, and you will see there is no compromise in me. All of my life was surrendered. It was not my own. I lived for the joy of doing the will of my Father. You may not be there yet completely, but if you stop and I be still for a moment, and you think back a year ago, you will all have to admit, I believe, that you have greater joy coming from being obedient than you did a year ago. And some of what we would call flesh is dead. And a year ago, Gary was watching 4 or 5 hours of football. And it's now been replaced with, other than football for sure, okay? And if we ask him, I'm asking him, the joy that he's having right now in those hours that he did have joy before with football, the joy that he's having now far surpasses the joy that he was having a year ago. And the same with you. I don't know what yours is. I'm sure, I'll pick on someone else, I'm sure that Nathan's obedience to not drinking coffee, the joy that he's having in the obedience of not drinking coffee, is a greater level of joy than he ever had in the best coffee that he's ever tasted. And if it is not yet, it will be. Because there is no separation and there is no division when the flesh leaves, the spirit immediately occupies that space. There's no space. You take one step into the spirit, one step out of the flesh, and the spirit is right here, not allowing any absence, and fills you with that joy that he's talking about. And each one of you have experienced it. Okay? Each one of you live there. It's every step. Step, what is it? Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Obedience, obedience, obedience. And the joy that comes from the obedience is so much greater than what was there. Under every circumstance, under every trial, maintain your joy, says the Spirit of grace. For joy is a foundation. It allows me to take my rightful place, and it will sustain you through the endurance of the test and the trial. It will give you strength to sustain in patience. Will you see the victory? Therefore, joy will give you the strength to endure that you might win. So win and again win and win again. Search the scriptures and you will see there is no compromise in me. All of my life was surrendered. It was not my own. I lived for the joy of doing the will of my Father. And when your life is mine, it too is for the purpose of doing the Father's will and living in close fellowship with Him. I found this next one in Gary's material. It's been available since June the 8th, 1995. The difference is that I've had it available, but you haven't. So you don't have to walk in the condemnation that I'm walking in. Okay. That I should have known this since 1995. I'm really not in condemnation. Okay. I'm hearing things, and I'm hearing from all of the speakers, like, that could not have been there yesterday, no matter when it was, it could not have come, because now I understand it. And I believe 5 years from now and 10 years from now, they'll read the same thing and will be saying, that could not have been there, because we're learning line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. The Word of God is living, and it's alive, and it's light. And it'll never get dimmer. It'll only get brighter. And it'll get more alive than it was yesterday. Listen to this. The joy of the Lord is in knowing that the will of the Father is being accomplished in your life. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. It has little to do with external happiness in your circumstances. It is your strength because it is what sustains you. When your flesh and your soul become weary from laboring in the field of the harvest, your Father's crop, your spirit looks again and again to the words your Father said, your blueprint. The Father said to you, when He asked you to bring in His crop for Him, you remember His great love for the lost sheep. He has sent you together. And the trust He has placed in you to tend to their wounds and keep them safe from the predators. He has confidence in you that you will not quit, nor harm the sheep, nor run from the wolf if he threatens you. You are not a hireling. You are a son. It's worth reading again. The joy of the Lord is in knowing that the will of the Father is being accomplished in your life. It has little to do with external happiness in your circumstances. It is your strength because it is what sustains you. When your flesh and your soul becomes weary from laboring in the field to harvest the Father's crop, your spirit looks again and again to the words your Father said to you when he asked you to bring in his crop for him. You remember his great love for the lost sheep. He has sent you together and the trust he has placed in you to tend to their wounds and keep them safe from the predators. He has confidence in you that you will not quit nor harm the sheep nor run from the wolf if he threatens you. You are not a hireling. You are a son. Several more. Take the life of my son as your example. He knew me. He loved me. He fellowshipped with me. And he totally trusted me. He did nothing without me. And he did everything for me. His life was totally given over to me. There was not one part of his life or one moment of his life that was not lived for me and in him as he walked on this earth. He was devoted to me. That was the fruit of his fellowship with me. That was the fruit of his fellowship with me. That is the same fruit that's coming forth in all of your limbs. It's the same fruit from the fellowship that you have with him. Every moment of fellowship with me, you grow closer to me and grow in your devotion to me as you live more by my life within you. Your life in me is in our fellowship together. Our life is a fellowship and only a fellowship, for it is in your union with me that I do all things. I brought with me I'm going to have you do several confessions with me. It's very quiet in here. The season, I hate to use the word season, but I don't have a better word in my vocabulary. The season for the prayer center has changed. And we're not sure what's coming. But there is no fear. There is no worry. But there is a singleness, a laser focused, no longer double mindedness. I think I'm not going to do the confessions. I'm going to read a couple more. If you do not have a copy of the present day speaking for 2015, and if you do not have the present day speaking for 2016, if I could beg, I would. If I could cry, I would. If I could get angry in the Holy Spirit, I would. If I could yell, I would, to try to convince everyone within listening ears that you would take those documents and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. If Luke was here today, I believe he would be a scribe that's recording everything the Lord is saying to us and put it in a book for someone to read in the future and for us to live by, but for them to hear it in the future. We are, of all people, and I know that we're not the only ones, but I do know that the Holy Spirit is really interested in us growing up and becoming mature, and He's almost feeding us day by day, moment by moment, with what is laser focused to Him. And for you to take what He's saying, the most, you want to bring joy to yourself, but if you want to bring joy to Him, He is thrilled when you begin to read what He has had to say to us. He takes great pleasure in it. They're actually listening to what I'm saying. And He doesn't say it that way. He's not smart, Alec, but you know what I mean. He loves for you to read what He's saying. He loves for you to challenge it. He loves for you to say, what do you mean by this? And He'll give you, within the Word, He will give you exactly what He has said more than once by two or three witnesses. He loves it when you take it from how it was said and put it into praise and worship, and to have fellowship with Him at a level of praise and worship. I'm going to read this one. We understand that every word that He ever has spoken, if He hasn't spoken it to an individual, He has spoken it to you personally. We know that principle. We know that you're to take this word and say, He only spoke it to you first, and then maybe you can share it. But He spoke it to you as an individual. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which has come to try you, as some strange thing out of the ordinary has come, some strange thing that would dictate, orchestrate, and author the end of your life. Do you think it's strange, says the Spirit of grace? How many scriptures could you find that says the same thing? 10? I didn't look them up. But that's what's on His heart. That's what's on the Father's mind. That He allowed the Holy Spirit, brought the mind of Christ to the individual that was a yielded vessel. And the Holy Spirit said, I want this said to you. What have I done wrong? What's wrong with me? Where am I at? Where have I lost my vision? These questions and many more. The one that has come to try you as with fire, it is not about you. It is not about your family. It is not about your life that He is after to destroy. But He sees in you the potential of what I have laid in the foundation in you for a long, long time, says the Spirit of grace. You will come through these things. You will manifest my glory. Those of you that hang on, you will look back and say, these weren't strange times. These were the most blessed times. These were the times of growth. These were the times that we heard would come, and we made it past. We're all looking for that day. He's the God of hope, right? He just gave you hope. He just said, look, don't put limits on me. To prophesy that you are on the brink of something new and something fresh and the house being filled once again is the not hope inspired by man. It is not the prefix of those things that are and drive by coming together and putting together a conference. This came forth in the conference. I place these things together, says the Spirit of grace, and the faith and the hope that I am placing inside of you to look and say that just beyond this moment in time is an explosion in my spirit. These things are true, they are faithful, and they will come to pass, says the Spirit of grace. Take your hope from the witness and take your hope from the word that has been sown in your generation after generation, and you will see these things come to pass, says the Spirit of grace. Can I read one more? This is one of Gary's favorites, so I think. The time has come now. Is where no longer when I speak and I say, do this or do that, you will turn to me and say, send another. Abba, Father, nothing is impossible to you. Your will be done. That's what we all need to be saying. We should not be turning, you know, and say, send another. Not me, Lord. I'm not worthy. The time has come and now is, says the Lord, that I will turn to you and say, do this. And your response will be, yes, sir. Because you have come to that place of humility where you turn your reasonings over to me and allow my reasonings to conquer you. You and I say again, you and I, we shall conquer your soul. Goliath shall not rise up and speak to my son in you and say, here and no farther. Goliath, your soul. Father, not my will. Your will not rise up. Your will not rise up and speak to my son in you and say, here and no farther. You and I shall conquer the soul. Goliath shall come down, and my spirit shall be loosed upon this earth. And the mission that I've sent you on shall be fruitful, and it shall be accomplished. The mission that I sent you on. You personally. Shall be fruitful and it shall be accomplished. There shall be glory. Joy in heaven. As my son matures the walk in true glory. And in the true knowledge of Jesus Christ, says the Lord. I feel his anger. My soul rises up against him and says, no, that's impossible, I can't. And starts listening to all of my shortcomings when he says, I'm in Christ and Christ in you. Goliath is coming down. And what he means by that is that the soul, any part of us that still refuses to believe what he says, that chooses to believe circumstances over truth, chooses to believe our failures over his word. Father, thank you for this. I'm glad it's quiet, Lord. I'm glad. I'm really glad. I'm glad that you're transferring from the mind to the heart. I'm glad that you're watering and planting the truth of who we are and who we serve, that all things are possible to you, and that we humbly turn to you and cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Your will be done. Your will be done. Father, take that and place it in us, that every time we feel as though we can't, every time we feel as though the enemy comes with unworthiness, every time he comes, that we shout it, Abba, Father, nothing is impossible to you. Your will be done. Your will be done. It is not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by your spirits, says the Lord of hosts. Everything you've asked us to do, everything that you've asked us to do, we say, thy will be done. And nothing is impossible to you. You will make it possible. We will co-labor. We will co-labor with you. We bless you. Bless you. Amen. And everyone said, amen. I have to go to one place. Sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry at all. This is important. This is important. Every instruction that you receive from me, it will not add to your burden. Every instruction that you receive from the Lord Jesus, it will not add to your burdens. It will free you from your burdens, for the instructions that come from the mind of Christ are intended to loose me, the Holy Spirit. And my power in the lives of every believer. His instructions do not come in such a fashion that I would stand idle while men should work, co-laboring. His instructions come that man can rest in the freedom which belongs to the sons of the living God, while the Spirit performs all things according to my power that is resident within myself. This is the help that the Father and the Son have sent to their serving sons, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Blessings.